Well, we continue in our series on parenting, and again, looking at the makeup, the demographics of who we have here. Some of us are well beyond the years of day-to-day, toe-to-toe parenting. Some of us are in the midst of it. Some of us are children. I mean, of course, all of us are children in one sense or another, but some of us are younger than others and are still in the throes of being parented. My prayer, certainly our prayer, is that through the words that you hear today, no matter what stage you're in, that you would have a takeaway, that there would be something that was said, some point made, certainly that you could glean, you could take and apply to your life, to your situation, reflect on how you were parented and how that would maybe impact how you would influence others, whether that be in parenting or grandparenting or just in relationship with others. As we've talked about in the last several weeks prior to Easter, there are two ingredients, two primary ingredients to parenting to be effective. And if you remember, we kind of charted out the four quadrants, the four grids of where a parent would fall. And one of them was effective, where there was a good amount of accountability and a good amount of acceptance. There were equal amounts, or at least they were both high on the scale. What were some of the other kinds of parenting? What were some of the other styles? There were three others. Permissive, okay? Permissive on that chart would have been a lot of acceptance, high in love and support, but not a lot of accountability, not a lot of directing or correcting. What else? What was another style of parenting? And as we went through these, it was instructive to know both how we parent or parented and also how we were parented. But what was another one? What was controlling? Okay, controlling was... What would the ingredient mix be there with accountability and acceptance? What was the mix? High accountability, low acceptance. Lots of directing and correcting. And, you know, kind of a over achievement on directing and correcting. And what was there an absence of? Love. Love and acceptance, support. So then that left neglectful. And neglectful was the absence of both. There wasn't a lot of rules or directing and correcting, that whole thing being accountability, and there wasn't a lot of acceptance. And again, one of the most instructive points is that one would think that neglectful would have been the worst because it's the absence of both. But in terms of results in children and what the way they end up behaving, the way they end up operating, the belief systems that they take hold of tend to be worst in the environment of controlling, where there's a lot of rules, a lot of directing and correcting, but not a lot of love, not a lot of acceptance. So that kind of sets the stage to keep in our minds of these four parenting types. And then the next week we spent looking at, you know, how have we viewed God? What box, so to speak, have we put God in? And, of course, God is asking the question, is there a box? But anyway, we tend to compartmentalize things. And so a lot of it depended on, not to overgeneralize, but a lot of it depends on how we end up viewing our earthly fathers. And so we took a look at where did our earthly father or earthly parents lie, and is that where we have placed God? Okay. And the point of that lesson, though, was to talk about acceptance first, that it's acceptance that is the key element. It's the key ingredient. It should come first. It should be the foundation. And if you remember also the lesson where we talked about the four A's, we talked about how God's way, let's start with man's way. Man's way starts from a position of authority, moves to accountability, then goes to affirmation and then acceptance. And we talked about how when we go from that model of the top down, in essence what we are communicating to a child or anybody else is that you're accepted as long as you do what you're told. I'll love you as long as you toe the line, as long as you do what you're supposed to do or not do what you're not supposed to do. Whereas God's world, of course, is upside down from ours. It's right side up for Him, but it's upside down for us. And His starts with acceptance. He says, it doesn't matter what you do, what you've said, what your attitude has been, I love you. I accept you for who you are, where you're at. Then it moves to affirmation, encouragement, things like this. Then accountability. Now, the big trick here is that we don't want to go either way. We don't want to start with authority and go down, but we also don't want to be in the absence of accountability. We're not saying there is no accountability. With that system leads to phrases that have come down the Christian pipeline like greasy grace. And, you know, you can just do whatever you want. That certainly is not what Scripture teaches us. So that's what we're going to look at this morning is this area of accountability. It's acceptance first, and in that foundation of acceptance, then we move up to this directing and correcting, this area of accountability. I want to lay that as a foundation so that we're reminded that what I'm talking about here is going to sound very technical. It's going to maybe feel like you're in school again. We're going to draw a graph up here and arrows and numbers and charts and things. But remember that the only reason that we're here at this stage on this foundation of acceptance. Okay, so this comes next. In fact, that's the title of the lesson, is accountability second. So, Victoria, you want to put up the key verse there? You know, want to scroll down until you see a Bible verse? And that is in Ephesians 6:4. Do we have it up there? There we go. Very good. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Now, I want you to find it. This is an interesting verse, I think, because it says, don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instruction. Now, most people, I think, unfortunately, would equate discipline and potentially instruction, being told what to do, with the backdrop, with the culminating emotion of anger. It's like, don't tell me what to do. Don't discipline me. Right? This says, don't make your children angry by the way you treat them, but... So what this is saying is evidently you can treat your children without anger, bring them up without anger in an environment of discipline and correction and instruction. So those things are not supposed to be synonymous. If you in your mind have kind of associated discipline and instruction being at odds with what you wanted to do and then producing anger, it must not have been this kind. Does that make sense? There must be an environment where we have discipline and instruction without anger. That's what we want to talk about. Okay. So one of the points of this lesson as well really is what we're looking to produce are healthy adults. Okay. Now, how many of you have heard the phrase? We want to raise our children to be three things. The first one is healthy. What's the next two? We want to be healthy,
wealthy, and wise.
Healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay. Now that's one phrase. There's another phrase that generally I hear a lot of parents talk about whose children are now college age or older, and say really. All they really care about, all they're really concerned about is whether or not their child is happy. Okay? That's really all they care about. That it doesn't really matter at the end of the day what they're doing, because all they really want to know is, are they happy? Okay? This lesson is not about a child's happiness, nor about a parent's happiness. Okay? And even the phrase, I want them to be healthy, wealthy, and wise, that's not from Scripture. Okay? Now, certainly we would say we want some health. We're going to talk about health, but we're not talking about health in the context of happiness or health in the context of just physical. We're talking about health and overall holistic health in every area. Is this person healthy? Are they making healthy choices physically, healthy choices financially, healthy choices in their marriage, and so forth? So we are looking at charting the health of an adult or a child. They're on the path to becoming a healthy adult. Whether or not they're wealthy really is not of concern, okay? Other than if we want to talk about God's wealth of being in His kingdom, okay? But we're talking about bringing up a child. What does it take to bring a child up so that by such and such a time they are a healthy adult? They are making those healthy choices. So we're going to start off with a child being born at zero, or, you know, one day old, right? Now, how much control over their... If we want to put them on a path to making healthy choices, how many of those healthy choices are they making at one day old? None. Zero. How many of the choices are you making for them? All of them. Okay? So I'm going to chart a line here, and I'm going to set this line at 21, okay? Because it seems to be society's magic number, that by the time a child is 21, or a person is 21, that they would be making all of the choices on their own. And we're looking at healthy, you know, we're wanting them to make healthy choices. By the way, remembering, have you and I made 100% completely consistent choices up to this day, right? So we know we're talking about the ideal, knowing that you and I have not made 100% healthy choices in our lives at whatever ages we are. All right, but all I want to say though about this 21 is it's not a magic number. For us. My wife and I, it's more like 18, okay? Thinking that wait a minute, 21 is too far. That they're already able, that they ought to be able to make all of these choices by the time they're 18, maybe 19, maybe 20. And so it's just whatever that age is. Now there are some parents out there today who are wishing that magic number was 30, because they have 35 and 40 year olds who are still under their care, right? So the point is, let's get them on a track so that when that day comes, they would be ready. All right, so I want you to draw this diagram with me. This is what we call our growing up graph. And I've kind of laid a lot of it out already in what I've said, okay? But draw this where you can, either in your books where you have a blank page or on your notes there. And this is the growing up graph. Let me get back to the page I need. And on this line, we are charting age, like I said. And we're going to put this final age for our purposes at 21. And now those of you who are mathematicians are going to see that this doesn't divide quite evenly. But we're going to go 4, 8, 12, and 16. So we have basically four-year increments up until we get to 21. All right, so this is the child's age. And this is the percent of control that a child has, okay? The child at age zero has 0% control. So over here, we're charting control. So this would be 50% control, and this would be 100. Now, I know this looks very mathematical and very classroom-like, but it is a tool to make the point of, is my child on a track to become a healthy, mature adult, to be making those choices on their own? So we are going to draw this diagonal, 45 degree all the way up through, so that if we were to bring this 100 over and this 21 down, you know, it's right about here that we're looking at 100% control of choices at 21. Now, again, put whatever age you want there. If you want it to be 18, if you want it to be 30, I don't know what that is for you. But we start out at zero. Okay, accountability then, or we backtrack. This diagonal line illustrates my turning the control over. Okay, if we were charting parental control, this is 100%, right? If we were charting my control over the child, it's 100%. Their control is zero. So this line represents the handing over of that control. And again, accountability, if we remember, is directing and correcting the actions of a child. Directing is that training part of accountability, and correcting is that discipline part. Okay? Training is the instruction, directing is the instruction, correcting is the discipline. Genesis 18:19 points to why God chose Abraham. I have singled him out so that he will direct his sons and their families to keep the way of the Lord and do what is right and just. Then I will do for him all that I have promised. So we're talking again about choices. My goal, your goal, is that the child will be making 100% of their choices by a certain age. And effective accountability is transferring that. Okay? The simple steps of achieving that or implementing that accountability are to teach my child how to make good choices. It's a teaching phase. Okay? Then to let them start making those choices. And then hold them responsible for their actions. Okay? So there's a teaching, a letting go, and a holding responsible in turning this over. Isaiah 1:19 and 20 says this on this point. Isaiah 1:19 through 20 says, "If you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken." Okay? The growing up graph illustrates how the correct amount of parental control results in the child's increased growth and responsibility. Again, Ephesians 6:4. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction approved by the Lord. Okay, so at these certain, at different ages, we see different stages. So at age 4, now again, these ages could be different for you. They could be 2, they could be 6, 3, 5, you know, but it's in that early stage. We're talking about things like toys. So write toys there. When a child is 4 or around that age, parents have already begun to teach them how to be responsible for their toys. So we allow them, we show them how to put the toys away. Here are the toys. We show them how to put the toys away. And, of course, we've done this with all of our children. How do we put them? This is how we put them away. Now, our older children would argue that we didn't show the younger ones how to do this. We had them show the younger kids how to put. But anyway, I won't go any further. But there's this teaching them how to put them away, right? And then it's telling them to do so and allowing them to put them away. Then there's the holding them responsible. Okay, so toys, around age 8, it starts, you know, earlier for us because we're on an earlier track. We're not at 21. We're looking at 18. But around age 8, there are chores. At our house, it's, you know, about 6 months. That's not true. It's 8 months. It's 8 months. No, but earlier than 8, you know, we have a chore list at our house, a daily thing. And even Anya is on that list at 5. Now, she gets a lot of help. Right, she gets a lot of help, but it's the responsibility for it's moving beyond just toys to chores. Okay, then from chores to money. The children getting an allowance or earning money through certain chores, tasks, maybe even outside the home, whatever it is. We're not looking at you know, don't worry, we're not looking at forced child labor at age 12. We're talking about little things, okay? Little things where they get some money, and it's teaching and training them how to use that money, how to steward that money, how to spend it, how to save it, how to tithe, how to do this and that with it, just like we showed when we talked about the financial area of life. Then we move from money to, what's the big one at 16? Cars. Okay? We get a car, and we get responsible for that. Responsibility for that. Now we're talking about, you know, the child making insurance payment or this payment or that, you know, taking care of it. If those things aren't taken care of, then they lose the privilege, driving the car and things like this to step them along this path of making, of being in control, self-control, of making all of the choices at that certain age. Okay, so I have to ask myself as a parent, where do I fall? Okay, what does my directing and correcting look like? Have I been effectively turning over that control? Have I been teaching my children how to make good choices? And again, this training does start much, you know, it, for us, it has started much earlier in the little things. So that, I mean, I was teasing about having chores when you're 6 months old. But when our children have been six, they've been trained in other ways. They've been trained, or six months, 12 months, I don't know. When they're eating, my wife, you know, they've been trained to keep their hands out of the food on the tray of the high chair. Okay, trained not to hurt my wife when they're nursing. Okay, trained at very young ages. Okay. Because they need to be on a track of turning this over, okay? And so these things happen at all these stages. It's not just these 4 points in time. It's all along the way. But have I been teaching them how to make good choices? Have I been teaching them, allowing them to make those choices? Or just telling them what to do over and over, you know? Am I holding them accountable for the choices they make? Okay. If I'm not holding them accountable, then I'm exercising too little control. So we draw a line somewhere in between these two. And I'm looking at too little parental control. And this would fall in the permissive or neglectful category. Okay. I've given too little control. So the child ends up feeling things like they wonder why I don't care enough to spend time with them. They feel anxious, alone. They become rebellious. They're accustomed to making their own decisions and resent it when somebody else steps in. They feel inadequate. They tend to run the home. I don't know if you've ever been around. You may not have been in their home, but maybe you've been in the restaurant, in the booth next to a child-run home. They're just little microcosms in a restaurant or in the shopping mall or wherever. Okay, this is too little control. Obviously, then, if we go the other route, and we have been too controlling, we have gone over the line. We've given too much parental control. This is where we're looking at that controlling environment. Okay, so let's take a look at the effects. If I give too little control, what does that mean up here? What's happened for the child? What? Go ahead. They're watching movies they shouldn't be watching. They're deciding. Okay. But at this hold on. I put that mark there. I shouldn't put that mark. What? Do you see what's happening here? We got to go way up here to get them. So, what's that? Well,
they're going to mature a lot later.
Right. Right. They've become Okay, so I did that wrong. They've become 100%. They've hit this mark too early. I was going ahead of myself. They've hit this mark too early. Okay. On the other side, okay, when they are here, this is where I wanted to go with this. Okay, if this is 100%, I don't know how old they're going to be. Okay, they're going to be old before they're doing what we wanted to happen when they were 21 or 18 or something like that. Okay, or they may never get there. All right, so this is not meant to turn your parenting into a mathematical grid. But I have found it very instructive to have that mental check to say, is my child on track? Am I turning over too much control or too little? Now, this is a small area, but I'm going to give a real-life example here. This is not a... let's just let this example go here. My wonderful daughter, Victoria, here, we're letting, you know, our children be the technology experts here, right, you know, during our service. And the songs that were played didn't sync up with it was a complicated task. I gave Victoria, who's 8, a complicated task. Now, we're not at the stage where she's got she's starting to make this kind of choice on her own. We're not talking about that. But this was an example of giving responsibility or giving an area to someone that was too young. Okay? And it started to go wrong. It wasn't synced up. And how did that make her feel? Okay? It didn't cause the anger, but what did it cause? Emotion, yeah. She was upset. She wasn't able to keep up, and she knew it, and then it was too hard. Okay? And, of course, I very, very lovingly, my very first parental instruction is so loving and saying, now, are you paying attention? It wasn't even said meanly. It was just, but it was the wrong thing to say. I've already talked to her. It's like, wait a minute. Then I took over. I'm like, wait a minute. This is too hard for me. Which leads me to my very instructive point for Marty, which says, giving the song titles isn't enough. Okay? Because we got to know how they get ordered and what comes next and that. But do you understand what I'm saying here regarding sometimes we give children things to do, it's too early. They're not ready. Okay? And it produces what? Negative emotions. It produces an emotional response. And it will eventually lead to things like anger. Okay? Sometimes we don't give them enough control. We don't, we're doing everything for them. Now, of course, you realize that my wife and I, as parents, have done both. We've all done both, right? We've all done this with certain children, or all the children, and we've all done this. Okay? And this is not meant to be a shame and guilt session. Okay? It is meant to say, well, if I'm over here, let me get back on track. If I'm over here, let me get back on track. Because in the environment and culture of love and acceptance, which I tried to lovingly, demonstrate to Victoria once I tracked with what was going on, that it wasn't about her. It wasn't, she wasn't doing anything wrong. She was doing the best she could, and that I love her. So in this see an environment of acceptance, we want to be providing, at the same time, accountability. So that the children move from being, so that this person moves from being a child with zero control to 100% control, so that there's health in every area of life. Healthy parenting when they're a parent. A healthy marriage when they're married. Healthy finances. Healthy physical area, healthy social life, healthy psychology in their own minds, wills, and emotions. That make sense? That's the lesson. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you're doing, what you've done. Thank you for giving us the completely perfect mix of acceptance and accountability in our lives. Help us to demonstrate that to those in our care, our children, grandchildren, if that is the case, if that is what you've, if that's the room you've given us to have, or whatever it is, Father, that you have wanted us to hear this morning about the levels of acceptance and accountability that we have received and maybe have taken on wrong levels and view you wrongly. Holy Spirit, do the work that only you can do. Speak through, in spite of, in the midst of these words, and convince and convict our hearts of what's right and what's true, and lead us to repentance. In Jesus' name.